Good morning, church. It is really good to be here, and it's good to be with you. If you would just bear with me for a few moments, I'd like to take 3 or 4 minutes and just recognize and thank the church here for your support. I'm going to ask this question. You can show me by a raise of a hand, but how many of you have ever been to Chillicothe, Ohio? It's a what a destination. I can see that it is for our country. Yes. Well, for the five or less that have raised their hand, that's the town where I live. And 10 years ago, my wife and I, and at that time, 3 of our children, left Canada, where I was preaching there in Canada, to come to Chillicothe and to start a church and plant a church there in that community. That was in 2006. And I have, for 10 years, been indebted deeply to the churches and to the individuals and to the blessings that have come our way to provide for our family as we continue and have worked and continue to work and labor in the kingdom and for the Lord there in Chillicothe, Ohio. So to the church here, to the leadership, to the shepherds, to all of you, thank you. Seriously, thank you. I could not do what's being done, what God is doing. I would not be able to be the instrument He is using in that community to bring souls to Jesus without the help of people and churches like you. And I have been anticipating the day where I could come to this church and stand before you and just utter those two words from the bottom of my heart: thank you. Brother Brent is going to be our way in a few months. We're excited to have him come up and preach for us. We do in the spring, we call it a spring revival series, where 3 months in a row we have a visiting preacher come in for a weekend each month and preach and encourage us to launch us and to get us into the summer months and into the new year. I like it because I get to sit at the feet of another preacher and listen to somebody else. And so it's really good to be able to do that. And this year we're blessed to have Brent come and be with us. And thank you for allowing him and sending him our way. Why do bad things happen to good people? I want you to ponder that question just for a moment this morning. Why do bad things happen to good people? Maybe that question has been posed to you as you've tried to talk to people, as you have tried to share with people your faith and why you believe in God and why you trust in God. And you may have been met with that very question. Well then, if God is such a loving God, why do bad things happen to good people? I want to tell you something, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this, but I'm going to reference it occasionally throughout the lesson this morning. That was a question that I was met face to face with about 4 years ago, when my wife and I and our children endured the death of a child. My 2-month-old son died in our bed of SIDS. I was out for a meeting, for a board meeting, looking at a building that we would possibly use for a homeless shelter for an organization that I was serving as president of at the time. So I was not home, and I got the call from my son that Isaiah is not breathing, not conscious, and for the next, who knows how long, I can't even put a time frame on it. It was a whirlwind of emotion. Why is this happening? Why did this happen to me? Am I not a good person? God, you know what I've given up to dedicate myself to the preaching of the gospel. God, you know. Where I am in my spiritual life. You know me more intimately than anybody else does, and yet this still happens to me. And so Why? That is the question that you will get. Maybe it's just a question you've asked. It's a question that gets met when a married couple gets married, and 2 months into their marriage, they find out that she finds out that her husband has terminal cancer. And they get to spend the next 6 to 9 months together, and then that marriage that she waited her whole life for ends 9 months after it starts. Why? First of all, let me say this morning that that question, why do good things happen to good people, is a moral question. It is a moral question, and because it is a moral question, we must appeal to an absolute standard of moral authority to answer the question. I would even go as far as to say that's not a fair question to ask. When we look at the scriptures and we see in Romans 3 and verse 10 and also in verse 23, there is none good, no, not one, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When we ask the question, why do bad things happen to good people? The immediate answer is biblically, there are no good people. That because of our sin and because of our disobedience unto a holy God, we deserve to die. And so, folks, that's just the truth of the matter. When we appeal to the Word of God, that is the truth of the matter, that there is none good, no, not one. And so bad things don't happen to good people in this world anyway. I think and I tell you what, you try to tell somebody that, they're going to smack you upside the head and walk away, because that's not a very great way to answer the question, especially for someone who is seeking to know more about God and to know more about the nature of God and to answer deep questions of life like that question. I think a more appropriate way to answer that heart, the heart that is behind that question, isn't why do bad things happen to good people, but why do bad things seemingly happen to godly people? Why do bad things happen to godly people? I'm going to give you some reasons here in just a few moments, but I want to examine that question in light of some biblical principles, first of all. We find in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 45, and I will go ahead and turn there and read that. I'm going to be referencing a lot of scripture today. And so I may not turn to every one, but if you're taking notes or you want to get a recording of the message today, please do that so that you can research and read everything that I'm referencing. But in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43, 44, and 45, Jesus says, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Now listen to what he continues to say. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Listen. We live in a world where sun shines on the bad people just as much as sun shines on the good people, or in the words of Jesus, the just and the unjust. And in the same way, rain falls on the unjust, and certainly those of us who see that happen, we think, yeah, they deserve that. But rain also falls on the just. That is just a principle of life. It's a principle that biblically we can see. And I'll tell you something. I usually do this at the beginning of when I've preached this a few other times, that to answer this question and to answer really any question of life, we have to look through this, okay? It's called a biblical worldview or a biblical perspective. So many times we try to answer things and we don't even think about what this thing says. But we have got to look through the Word of God. We've got to examine whatever question we are brought with through the lenses of what God's Word has already said. And I am a firm believer that no matter what question you're facing in life, God has the answer for it. And I think he has the answer for this one as well. Why do bad things happen to godly people? Well, rain falls on the just and the unjust. We also can read in Romans chapter 2 in verse 11 that in the NIV it says that God does not show favoritism. He's not a God that shows partiality. In Proverbs chapter 13 verses 15 and 21, bad things, quote unquote, bad things are often consequential things. There was a meme that came across on the computer at one time, and you may have seen this. It showed like it looked like it was on one of those church signs out in front of a church, and it said this, and it's okay if you chuckle at it. Everything happens for a reason, right? We've heard that. Sometimes the reason is you're stupid and make bad decisions. And the truth of it is that is a very biblical principle. Sometimes bad things happen to what seem like godly people because of bad choices of the past. Take, for instance, you have a man or a woman who they get into their 60s and find out that they have cancer of the lungs. And they've been smoking all their life. Let me tell you something. One question that ought not be asked when that happens is, why did this happen? Because that's self-explanatory. Sometimes there are consequences to the choices that we make in life. And sometimes we make bad choices. We make bad decisions or we do stupid things. And then years later, sometimes immediately, but years later, the consequences show themselves. Why did this happen? Well, do you remember what you did? I know this is true because I've lived it. I've done some really stupid things in my past. And I'm not proud of those things. But they happened. They're not going anywhere. And sometimes that affects my life even today. Sometimes bad things happen to godly people merely because they are consequential to decisions that were made in the past. Proverbs 13:15 says, "Good understanding gives favor, but the way of the transgressors," or the way of the sinners, "is hard." And finally, what we believe may be bad might just not be bad at all. That is a very subjective concept. What is bad and what is good. What we may perceive to be bad might not be bad after all. We learn from Isaiah in chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Our minds, as much as we like to think how smart they are and how wise they are nothing compared to the mind of God. Nothing. And so while our minds might perceive something to be bad, from heaven's view, there's not one thing bad about it. So, I have not answered the question, and I know I haven't answered the question. I'm going to try in just a moment. But I think before we begin to try to answer the question, why do bad things happen to godly people, we've got to look at that question in the parameters of some biblical principles that I've just shared with you. That rain falls on the just and the unjust. God is does not show partiality or favoritism. Sometimes the consequences, or sometimes the bad things are just simply consequences of bad decisions of the past. And just because we might say it's bad doesn't mean that it's really bad. So, what about the bad things then? I mean, the really bad things that happen circumstantially to godly people. For instance, the story that I shared with you a few moments ago about our tragedy. Why? Well, I want to share with you, as I dove into that question, the only place I knew to find answers to that question in my time of grief and in my time of darkness and in my valley of death that I walked through, that God's word was the only place I could find the answers. And I found answers. And I'm going to share what I found with you, and I hope it will help you. Because there's a lot of people here this morning. I don't know what you're facing in life. I can only imagine that some of you are dealing with some very, very difficult things today. And it took a lot for you to get up, get ready, get in your car, and come here. Because I know better. I know that life is not always full of roses and chocolate. I know life stinks sometimes. And sometimes really stinky, junky things happen in our life. It could be our children. It could be our spouse. It could be family members. It could be friends. It could be job news. It could, whatever. I mean, I could spend all morning giving you examples, but I think you get it. Sometimes bad things happen. And you're wondering, why is this happening? And why won't it stop? First of all, and there are 6 answers that I found in Scripture. Now, there could be more, and this is not exhaustive. But in light of my situation, these are the answers that God spoke to me through His Word. The very first answer that I found is that sometimes bad things happen to simply promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. In my story, 7 weeks prior, there was a man who began to visit our assembly, and he was the husband of one of our faithful members. And she has been a Christian for her whole life. Him? No. No, not so much. But he started visiting with her, and for the weeks that we were able to bring our son to church, and I remember that I brought my son up in front, and I used him as an example, illustration for a point that I was making, and I remember looking out and seeing Ed convicted and pricked by what he was hearing from God's word. When our son died on a Friday, Saturday, Ed and his wife came in to offer consolation and comfort to us. And Ed, I'll just tell you right now, was a mess. He was a mess. He was wrestling deep, deep, deep down, wrestling with the condition of his soul. And I remember telling Ed, that, listen, brother, if the death of my son brings about your new spiritual life, I'm okay with that. I don't say that for any self-promoting or glory, trust me. But I'm not ashamed of this. I know the important things. The important things are souls. Bodies are not the important things. The important things are souls. And so here was Ed sitting across from me, who was not a Christian. He has not put his trust and his faith in Christ. And I simply said, listen, if it results in you being born again and you becoming a Christian, I'm okay with that. I want to tell you something. The next day, it was a Sunday. At the end of services, Ed could not be contained in his seat. He got up out of his seat, he walked to the front, he took the microphone, and he said, I've got to give my life to Jesus today. I have to. We baptized him. Ed Hughes is one of the most dedicated, faithful men of our congregation who I see in the near future serving as an elder. Do you think That was the last thing on my mind on Friday. On Sunday, I'm witnessing a new birth of a man who fought God all his life. And he finally lost. And God won. Listen, folks, sometimes these bad things happen for no other reason than to grow the kingdom. And you might not see it, you might not understand it, and that's okay, you don't need to. Secondly, sometimes these bad things happen to godly people to bring our reliance upon God and God alone and not ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 speaks to this very directly. Beginning in verse 8, Paul says, "We do not want you to be ignorant, brothers." And I want you to listen. Just listen closely to the words that Paul uses. "We do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." I mean, listen, Paul is saying, it was so bad, I felt like I was dead. In fact, he goes on to say, "Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death." So what Paul experienced in Asia was so bad, it felt like he was dying. And then listen to what he says. He says, "But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." You know, sometimes bad things are happening in your life because God's tired of seeing you rely on yourself. Sometimes bad things are happening in your life because God wants to remind you that you need to rely on Him because you can't raise people from the dead. You don't have that power. Only God does. And He's the one that sustains you. He's the one that upholds you. He's the one that continues to guide you and protect you. And when you forget that, sometimes tragedies and bad things will happen for no other purpose than to remind you that you need to stop relying on yourself and start relying on God. Because you can't raise people from the dead. But God can. Thirdly, sometimes bad things happen to godly people to make us, for no other reason than to make us uncomfortable. Why would God want to do that? Why would we want to be uncomfortable? I'll tell you why. This world is not your home, that's why. This is not where it's at, guys. This world is not our home. And sometimes we get comfortable here? Sometimes we do everything we can to make our life comfortable. I'm going to share something really kind of deeply personal with you because I'm the kind of guy that wears everything on my sleeve. It's who I am, whatever. If it bothers you, you don't like it, I apologize. But it's just who I am. I remember very vividly, probably in the second, third week of December, because I took my kids to school, I was driving back. So I drove them to school, I was driving back, I was by myself in the car driving back. And I remember, I can tell you exactly where I was on what road, on Route 50, where I started praying to God and speaking to God. And I said, you know, God, something's got to give here. I am feeling distant. I know that's not you, it's me. And these were the words that I uttered in my mind, from my lips, to my God. I said, God, do whatever you got to do to change that and to bring me closer to you. Little did I know what I just said and what that would mean. Now, do I think that the events that happened just a few weeks later are directly related to that request? Probably. Probably, because God knew how far away I was. God knew that my heart, my mind had drifted, and I didn't want it to drift. I didn't want to drift. I didn't want to be away. I didn't want to be far. I wanted to be near, and He knew I wanted to be near, and when I made the request, God, do whatever you have to do to bring me back. Life happened. But at the end of it, I came back. And I praise God that I came back. I allowed the world to get too comfortable. I allowed my place in this world to be too comfortable. And it was never meant to be comfortable. And sometimes the bad things are going to happen to you in your life, and it doesn't make any sense, but if anything, it's shaking you up to make you realize and to help you realize that, man, I've just, this place has, I've allowed the world to be my home. And it's not supposed to be. We're pilgrims. We're just passing through. Sometimes bad things happen to godly people, quite frankly, to discipline us and to bring us to repentance. It's in Hebrews chapter 5, no, 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, beginning of verse 6, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Now listen, it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good so that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Tell you something, sometimes bad things that are happening in your life, sometimes they're just a good old-fashioned behind-the-woodshed spanking. Because you need it. Because you need to repent. And you might not see that you need to repent. And you might be blinded from the path that you're walking. And God just might be disciplining you, whooping you, to wake you up so that you can bring your life back to a place where you're sharing his holiness. Why do bad things happen to godly people? Let me review a few for you. And then we'll look at the last two. Sometimes these bad things happen for no other reason than to promote the gospel. And we might not see it, we may not understand it, but that's exactly what's happening. And because we trust in God, whose ways are higher than our ways and whose thoughts are higher than our thoughts, we simply trust he knows what he's doing. Secondly, sometimes these things happen to bring us to a place of reliance upon God and not ourselves. Sometimes it's to make us uncomfortable because we've allowed the world to become our home. Sometimes it's nothing more than a disciplinary move from the God of heaven to bring us to repentance. Now, the next one I'm going to share with you, I've received flack for in the past. I'll tell you, you may too. It's okay. You may disagree. And we can talk about that. But I believe in the sovereign will of God. I can't fully explain that, and I don't understand it completely, but I trust that God has absolute control over everything, and his sovereign will supersedes every action that takes place in all of creation. So sometimes, maybe, bad things happen to godly people because it is the will of God. And quite frankly, who am I to question him? And this is what I get. So are you saying God wanted your son to die? No, I'm not saying that. I think there's a difference between wanting something in maintaining sovereign will. folks, I want to tell you something. Sometimes we get a little too big for our britches. And our heads get a little too big. And we think we have a right to know every answer to every question of why something is happening or why it isn't happening and why it doesn't happen on the timeline we think it should happen. God is a sovereign God whose will supersedes and controls everything. Just trust Him. Trust Him. You may never get the answer that you're looking for, and that's okay. Just trust Him because He is God who raises people from the dead. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him and the son of man that you care for him? Why would you even care knowing how magnificent and how awesome you are, God? And we want our answers and we want them now. I'm sorry. But God doesn't operate that way. God doesn't bend his will to your will. You need to be bending your will to his will. And finally, this morning, well, I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and... No, I'm not. I'm going to get to my last point here. We live in a sinful world. We live in a fallen and a broken world, and sometimes bad things happen simply because of the consequences of sin and the curse. It's a corrupt world. We are a perishing people. And I'm reminded in Luke chapter 13 of when the Tower of Siloam fell and there were questions as to why these people died, the 18 that died when the Tower of Siloam fell. And the response of our Lord was, I'm telling you, repent or you too will likewise perish. You know, sometimes bad things happen. People fly planes into buildings. I was just in San Bernardino a few weeks ago in an evangelistic effort, and we were just blocks away from where the terrorist attack was, where the guy walked in and shot everybody up. Why does this stuff happen? Because the devil is the prince of this earth. He is our enemy, and bad things are going to happen in this sinful, corrupt world. And because they happen, the message of our Lord is, take note, pay attention, and get your life right with God. And that's what I'm going to leave you with today. Whatever you're facing in life, if it's a bad thing that is happening in your life, if it's an unfortunate situation, a tragedy that you're going through, whatever it is, stop and just make sure your life is right with the Lord. And if it's not, make it right with God today. You do not want to put off getting your life right with God. You do not want to put off getting saved if you're not a Christian today. The invitation is extended by our Lord. Come unto me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The rest that I need, and the rest that you need, and the rest that we all need is only offered by the blood of the Lamb of God. And his invitation is extended to you, to me, to take and bear, pick up your cross, and follow after him. If you're not a Christian today, may these words that I have spoken, may the words of God that he has spoken, convict you and pierce your heart so that you could get your life right with the Lord. May God bless the preaching of his word, and may any that are not in the right relationship with God today come forward as we stand and sing and get your life right.